It's a Wednesday morning. It's 11 after 8 o'clock, and it's time for 10 Minutes with Tom. Tom Austin of Austin Tax and Financial. Tax preparation, planning, retirement strategies and planning, and a whole lot more. Tom's with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mr. Gifford?
I am also well. Thank you kindly. Well, let's jump right into it here this morning. And we'll start with, I think we touched on this maybe last week, just briefly, but it probably deserves a little more attention than we gave it before. And that is the payroll tax cut or payroll tax holiday or whatever it's being termed these days. Something that the president enacted here a little while ago. Give me an explanation as to exactly what that is, how it works, and who it does or doesn't affect.
Well, yeah, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that things in Washington have not been too agreeable on a lot of things. And you know, there was a lot of debate on another stimulus package, you know, due to the coronavirus, and you know, due to the lack of being able to come together with something on that. The president decided to create an executive order and to do a payroll tax cut. So the payroll tax cut, typically it's your Medicare and your Social Security that comes out of your paycheck. So the Social Security part of it is 6.2%. The Medicare is 1.45%. So this just deals with the Social Security side of it, which is 6.2%. So whatever somebody, you know, whatever they earn in their paycheck, that 6.2% gets sent from the employer, you know, to the government for Social Security funding. And so starting September 1st, there was it's just a deferral or payroll tax cut holiday. So from September 1st till December 31st, there's an option that you can defer that 6.2%, which gives you a little bit more money in your pocket. Now, there's some income requirements to that, so you have to be making $4,000 or less every 2 weeks, or less than $104,000 annually. The problem is that right now the way it's set up is that it's just a loan that's to be paid back starting in January of 2021. So there would be, you know, a double withholding from your paychecks. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, the idea, you know, was to give a little bit more money in people's pockets now, which there may be some merit to that for some people, but overall, I think it could be problematic because of the fact now that you're going to be getting less, you know, in a few months. So it's like a interest-free loan is what they're kind of billing it as, and then if by some chance the money it doesn't get paid back to the government in January, starting in January, then there could possibly be penalties, you know, that could be assessed as well. So, and then, you know, where does that, how much does that end up hurting people down the road? Now, there is a possibility they're talking about possibly forgiving that, which that is possible that could happen, but you certainly can't count on that. So, overall, I think it's more of a political that's being played. And now for some people there may be a benefit, but I don't see a real benefit here, you know, because it's going to be problematic as you have to pay this off.
Wasn't that optional? Didn't you have to opt into that and work that out with your employer? That wasn't automatic that it came, that it happened for everybody, right? Was it?
It is an optional thing. I did read something where if you're a federal employee, that as a federal employee, you didn't have an option.
Oh.
But as far as everybody else, yeah, you know, we're not doing it, you know, and right. So, I don't know how many people will. I mean, I'm guessing a lot of people aren't even going to take advantage of this.
Yeah, so it's very likely that if this is the first you're hearing of it and you didn't hear anything from your employer about it, it's very likely you're not participating in this. Would that be a safe assumption?
Yeah, I would guess so. You know, and I don't know how companies have handled that, but it went into effect on September 1st. So,
yeah,
so the first or the first pay period would really be coming up right this week, probably.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, people may not even be aware of it at this point. But just keep in mind, if for whatever reason you get your paycheck and you notice it's a little bit bigger, you might want to check with your employer to see if you're participating and you didn't know about it, missed the memo or whatever, and then you make sure that you're planning accordingly because, as you say, Tom, it is just a loan. You're going to have to pay it back probably incrementally. Starting in January.
Yeah, for some people, there may be a benefit. I mean, if somebody is cash strapped, I mean, it may help out a little bit now, and there is always that possibility that they could forgive it.
Okay. All right.
Well, wouldn't count on it.
Yeah. We'll just chalk that up to the political season, I guess.
Yeah.
Now. Now, speaking of that, we are in the thick of that, and the promises are flying right and left, and I'll do this for you, and I'll do that, and we'll take care of this, and then we'll take care of that, and so on and so forth. But what it all comes down to is November 3rd, and who comes out victorious on the other side of that. Do you see any potential differences in how the stock market or just the economy in general might react depending on who comes out victorious after November 3rd?
Yeah, I think there's certainly things that people are looking at, you know, depending on which candidate gets in. Now, you mentioned November 3rd. You know, that's going to be an interesting date. Are we actually going to know who the president is on November 3rd, for one? So that itself could be problematic if we get into a situation with lawyers and mail-in ballots, you know, to actually have a winner. So that could certainly have an effect short-term on the stock market and the economy. But, I mean, right now we're looking at a stock market that is close to all-time highs. I mean, we had a little bump downward in the stock market last week. But the Dow all-time high was back in March, actually, at 29,568. It's sitting at almost 28,000 right now. But the NASDAQ and the S&P both hit all-time highs multiple times over the last several months. The S&P just in the last month, but then the NASDAQ hit all-time highs, you know, well before the Dow and S&P recovered from that downturn we had initially in March. So the stock market overall is pretty high right now, and I think, you know, the stock market tends to look 6 months out into what's going on. So I think that if Trump gets in, I think you'll see a bump upwards. And quite frankly, if Obama gets in, I think you'll see a downward move short term.
Biden.
Biden, not Obama. I'm
if
sorry.
If Obama gets in, we have turned the clock back 4 years. or 8 years.
Well, I've got Obama actually in my notes here because you know what happened with Obama. You know, he wanted to raise taxes, but he didn't raise taxes because the economy was very fragile. So, even though Biden's talking about raising taxes, you can't say that that's actually going to happen.
Right.
So, from what perception is, and you mentioned about the political climate and you know, all the promises being made, you know, what actually happens is another thing. So,
well,
I think.
And I think Mr. Biden has a history of being a friend to the financial world and Wall Street and the big banks in his legislative career, too. So maybe that will be helpful if he's the one who gets in.
Yeah, and that's what I think it's all yet to be determined. But I think in the short term that the market goes up. If Trump gets in, it goes down. If Biden gets in, but that is just on the short term. It'll be the policies that'll be enacted and what they actually do, you know, to help, you know, move the economy and the markets forward. And then obviously we still have this current concern about the virus, which has created a lot of the turmoil that we see right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, is a vaccine going to be the answer? I mean, some people say yes. Other people say, you know, not so fast because, you know, some people may be reluctant to take it. Is the vaccine actually going to be effective? So, there are still a lot of questions out there that are going to initially drive the economy and the stock market. But the underlying elements of the stock market, I think, are still pretty strong. I mean, company profits have been strong. Certain sectors have really flourished during this time of the virus. And, you know, we'll see how things move, you know, as we get closer to that election date and then moving into next year as as all these things start to play themselves out.
Yeah, if you have anything to do with the delivery process or delivery world, you're probably doing pretty good since everybody's ordering from home now. With it's been amazing to watch and see the resilience of the market through this pandemic here. Is that, with as well as it's done, is that an indication of kind of a disconnection between the Wall Street world and the Main Street world as far as the economy is concerned?
Well, that's a good question, because I think when this coronavirus became aware, when we came aware that it was going to be a fairly serious thing in the market, literally in a month's time dropped 40%, I don't think anybody would have thought that the market would have come back as quickly as it did. And so when you really look at what was going on at that time and then how the market was rebounding so quickly, it's a fair question, and I think that could very have some truth to it, but it's really, the market is so unpredictable, especially in today's world, that it's just really hard to see where it's going to go. We see what happened last week where, you know, the NASDAQ dropped 10%, you know, and then it bounces right back, you know. So, and there, you know, there's a lot of conversation about all these millennials out here that, you know, are day trading, which is affecting the market to some degree, because there's a lot more movement in the market these days because of the access to online apps, and you know, a lot of people are moving in and out of the market much more so than, you know, say even a few years ago.
I think it's probably also helpful that every couple of days we get some sort of a hopeful notion, and you brought this up a little bit ago, a hopeful notion regarding the possibility of a vaccine in the not-too-distant future. While we don't know, you know, how that might play out after we get one, there seems to be something hopeful every couple of days or every week or so about the development of some sort of a vaccine.
Yeah, and that certainly is going to drive the market. For, you know, again, in the short term, maybe for that day, and then something out the next day, and it changes. So what we try to talk to our clients, especially those that are retired or close to retirement, I make it very clear to them that, you know, during your retirement years, that you're going to have one, if not two, time periods where we're going to have a major market decline where we need to be prepared for that, that could last, you know, well into a year or more, you know. Sure. It's kind of what we saw in 2008. So we have to prepare for that as our firm helps people navigate the real possibility and eventuality that that's going to happen during their years of retirement. So we have strategies that we put together as far as income and where we're going to pull income from if we have the market go down. We don't want to have to liquidate money from the stock market, you know, to create income for a client in retirement. So we want to make sure that we're always liquidating money when the market's up, you know, and so we have strategies to make sure that happens, and, you know, how we invest, where we put money that's safe and that type of stuff, so that people have the comfort of knowing that they're going to be able to navigate themselves through these difficult times when we have, a major market correction.
Well, if we pique someone's interest along those lines, or if they have further questions regarding the payroll tax holiday, or just want to talk politics with Tom,
yeah,
what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, our phone number is 269-429-1585. Our website is austinfinancial.us, and we're located at 4231 Red Arrow Highway in Stephenville.
Tom Austin is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. Topics discussed and opinions given not intended to address the specific needs of a listener, but you as a listener are always encouraged to discuss your specific needs with the appropriate professional. We hope that professional is Tom Austin. And as always, thanks, Tom Austin. Have a good day, sir.
You too, Jim.
All right.